That was a slight change from what was originally put down, because I missed out a one when I sent the psalm through to Moses. And when I checked Psalm 26, I thought, that's not really the one I want for God's provision. But this, doesn't this just show God's provision in the life of Israel? And yet, doesn't God's provision come in ways that we don't expect? I'm sure that the captives in Babylon didn't think that they would be freed by a conqueror from Persia. But that's what happened. They were set free to return to Israel. And they came back like men who dream. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Walking as if it was in a dream. Can't really believe it, what God has done for them. And I think very often that is the way that God works in our lives. He does things that we can hardly believe he's done. Things that we thought could never happen. And sometimes they happen in a totally bizarre way. When you trust in God, that's when you find that he can be trusted. When you put all your faith in him, he is faithful. It's when we try doing it under our own strength that we come a cropper. We need to remember that all we do, all we are, depends on God. And when we walk through life like that, he blesses us. He may not make life easy for us, but we can say that we can live with joy in our hearts, no matter our circumstances, because God provides. Always he provides. And I just want to share with you now some of the things that have been going on in Adopt a Child over the past 2 years. I know many of you will have seen some of these slides before and will have heard me say some of these things before, but there are always people who don't know what we do. So we're Living Water Adopt a Child, and we have this motto, changing the world one child at a time. Because that's the way God works. You know, even when Billy Graham had thousands of people in the auditoriums, God wasn't going zap to everybody. He was working into the lives of each individual in that audience. He works one-to-one, not in a crowd. So we come alongside people. It doesn't matter whether they're 7 or 70. They can be children. They can be vulnerable adults. We provide food, medical, dental care, but most of all, we bring the gospel. Because without that, people have nothing. You can be well fed. You can be well educated. You can be rich as Croesus, or nowadays as Elon Musk. But if you haven't got God in your life, you haven't got anything. We work in two countries. We work in Guatemala in Central America, and we work in Albania in Europe. I know I've said it many times. We don't know why God sent us from Macedonia to Albania, but we just went, because when he says jump, you don't ask why, you just ask, how high, Lord? So we look after the body. And now in Guatemala, we do that through meals. So the kids will walk to the feeding centers and they will eat and eat and eat. And that little chap there, he was actually about this tall. He was thin as a lath. He had came up for 4 helpings. I don't know where he put it. You know, he had far more than I could take. And I'm not known for being being behind the door at coming forward for food. But they can come up as much as they like. And the wonderful thing is, we have never, ever run out of food. no matter how many have come, no matter how often they've come up. God provides. In Albania, we provide food boxes for the families because logistically, that works more simply in Albania. We have our medical centres. We have clinics in Guatemala and we have clinics in Albania. The doctor you can see there, his name is Pablo. He first came to adopt a child. Well, he first came to a caravan looking for food in the middle of a civil war with his parents dead and his grandma dying. He was starving. And this was 45 years ago now. He came for food. What he found was salvation. He went to medical school, became a doctor, and he came back to his people. And he lives in what my wife describes as a glorified chicken hut. It's basically four small rooms, a wooden hut. And he lives there with his family. And he gets paid, sometimes in chickens, sometimes in turkeys, and sometimes not at all. But he pays back to his people because he remembers what it was like to be starving and not to know Jesus. And he is one of the most humble men of God I've ever met. We have dental care because if your teeth are bad, you really know about it. I have problems sometimes with my teeth, and for me, the whole universe then revolves around what I'm feeling here. When you're in pain, it's very difficult to remember anything else. But we have Bible classes. That particular one is down in the slums in Guatemala City. And those girls, they come in and it's a sanctuary. Because outside are the drug gangs. And many of the girls fall by the wayside. Very often they only have one or two options. And one of those options is not good. And very many of them go down that route. So they come in and we provide a sanctuary where they can learn about Jesus. In Albania, we do the same thing. And here you can see them in action. And this has gone off. Hopefully it'll be on next time. In addition to that, we've got a whole slew of other programs, specialist programs, to meet specific needs. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I will just pull up a couple. We've got the Enid Project. Now, that is where we provide help and support to families who have children with additional needs. That particular girl, for instance, her mother has to carry her everywhere. She's bigger than her mother. So there we were able to provide help so that she can have respite and also to provide her with a wheelchair so she can actually get about. It's just simple things like that. We've got Women in Need, which is where women and some men, most of them are elderly, but some are younger, who are singles mothers, who have been abandoned or who have other problems. We provide the same care for them as we do for the children. And that's one of the ladies in Albania. We provide chickens. We'll provide 10 chickens for a family. We build a coop for them so that they stay safe from predators, very often human predators. Because up in the mountains, food is hard come by. We've got the Living Water Bible Institute in Guatemala. That's because many of the pastors there, or many of the elders, can't afford to go to college. So we provide the training that they need so that they can be God-fearing pastors. In Albania, we have the International School of Theology and Learning. I have to try and remember what ISTL means because of the words popped to mind. But there again, that provides education to anyone who wants it in theology and in pastorship and leadership, and they're accredited to provide university-level education. We provide things like large text Bibles in Albania, because many of the ladies there and the gents have the same problem I do. Without these, you can't see a thing. So large text Bibles are essential. One of the things we do is establish programs in areas where there is nothing. Many organizations will provide money to churches or organizations already on the ground. We operate differently because we go into areas where there is nothing and set up a program. Provide food, medical, dental care as before, but most of all, to be able to preach the gospel, to fetch the message of Jesus and the resurrection. Our latest program in Guatemala, I know I shared some of it with you last time, that's on the outskirts of the town of Chichicastenango. It's in the heart of the indigenous region in the Quiche, which is still steeped in the old Mayan worship. I think I've probably shared that with you before. That's Mashimon. He's one of the gods that is still worshipped in the center of the Quiche. That's the church in Chichicastenango, which has been there for 400 years now. Still got altars up the center aisle to the old pagan gods, and they are still used. This was the plot of land that we acquired just outside Chichicastenango at Chulumal. And that's the road leading up to it now. Just to give you an idea of what's been going on, we've built health and safety, what's that? And the work carries on. the building is being used, but it's still being completed. And here we've got teams. We have teams coming down from the States and from Canada, from churches who provide labour for us. And this is the classrooms that they were in the process of building. And which were officially dedicated just 2 weeks ago. Quite a few of the locals came to see what was going on. Because their kids are already coming to the feeding program there. And these are some of the Sunday school staff, the teachers for the children, who are working in that church at Chulumal. That church started with about half a dozen people. It's now up to about 100 or so. This is not working properly. Oh well, can't really hear it, but we had a problem with water there. There's no fresh water around that area. There's no piped water either. So we tried drilling. Now most of the rigs that they use out there will only go down to 250 feet. And they still haven't hit water. So we did know that there was water there. We knew the aquifer was there, but it was just deeper than 250 feet. So we employed a firm. Well, I say a firm, it's a couple of guys with spades. And they dug a well in the traditional manner. And we've just got water now, which is going to be available not only to our program there, but it's also going to be available to the local residents who live scattered around about. We have construction teams who come down from the US, as I said, and they also carry out renovation work as well as building new things for us. This is one of our programs at a place called Tunaha. Tunaha in Quiche means bad earth, because they say it's not very fertile around there. They only get two crops a year. Everywhere else they expect to get three. But that building was built about 20 years ago. Unfortunately, they made the mistake of building it with wood. And in Guatemala, you build things with wood and the termites have a field day. It's reached the stage after 20 years where you could basically push your finger into the beams. It was so soft. So we had to replace them. So everything got stripped off by one group of guys who came down. And then a fortnight later, another two teams came down. What did he call them? He called them, one came from Alabama, so they were the Bama boys. And then one came from somewhere else, and they were the Kama boys. So it was the Bama Kama boys. And it was all done by hand. No cranes, no... And that was just over 2 weeks ago. And the rest of the beams went up, and then the tin roof went on. So we rely on these people who come down. They come down as volunteers. Some of them aren't Christian, but they all come down from the churches. Sometimes they fetch their friends who are builders so that they can actually help with the work as well. And then there are a few other things that have gone on in the past year. Every year we have a medical dental campaign. This year's is going to be starting in about 3 weeks' time. Again, it's teams of doctors and nurses who come down from the States, from Canada, into Guatemala. They fetch a lot of gear with them, and then they'll spend anything up to 2 weeks up in the mountains in areas where they never see a doctor. Every morning before they start with prayer, because that's the way we start. And then the folk, they come, they queue. Never cease to amaze me how many people come around. When you drive up into the mountains, it looks almost uninhabited, because you drive up through these forests and you don't see many people, and then all of a sudden there'll be a couple of children suddenly pop out of the undergrowth as you drive by, because they're not used to seeing too many trucks. And where we work, that particular program, that is Chichicá. That's about 8,000 feet up in the mountains. Driving with four-wheel drive, it takes about an hour to get from the nearest village up to Chichicá. If you're walking, I would say it would probably take you about 3 or 4 hours. Many of the people who live there, are born there, live there, will die there, and never leave it. But they come as soon as they hear word that we're coming with doctors. So they bring babies, young people, old folk. They all come. They will sit and they will wait patiently because they know they're getting free treatment. But we're a bit sneaky, really. While they're waiting, they have the opportunity to come into the shade where they get to hear about Jesus. And we have a tent for the children, and we have a tent for the adults. And they hear about Jesus. And those kids there, you might wonder why they're all holding certificates. It's because when a child or an adult accepts Jesus into their lives, we give them a certificate for them to remember what they have done. And it's a reminder through their life that they have chosen Jesus. That's Dr. Leo Carney. He's in the US Army, and he comes down every year without fail. Dentistry by torchlight. Not quite my cup of tea, but I suppose if you've got nothing else, you will do it. But in the end, for us, it's all about connecting with the people. We take every opportunity to just be with them, to share with them, to come alongside them. With prayer, or just chatting, just sharing everyday things. That may be the first time that they've ever actually seen a photo of themselves. And it's amazing how universal humour is. It doesn't work very easily when you're working through a translator, but you can still touch people's hearts. We've had a women's conference. This was up in the mountains at Chulamal. So women came from Chichikar, from Pasir Hawk, from Zacualpa, and from the city, so that they could meet together, encourage one another, and try and find what God had in store for them. So it was a time of worship and coming together, and a time of coming alongside. I really wish my speaker was working. We've also got a new church. This happened 10 days ago. Anyone care to guess how that name is pronounced? Chocolat, as in hotel chocolat. It's at a place near a place called Solala, which is in the Kichi Castanango area of Guatemala. And they are the latest church to become part of the Liberty Network. We've now got 9 churches spread across the area that we're working. And Steve was there to welcome them into the fellowship, and they started with communion, sharing of bread and wine, universal for Christians. All ages again. They're far less restrained about their music than you are, you know. They really go for it. you need earplugs. It really is. Make a joyful noise. They really go for it in their worship. Then, of course, we've got Christmas. Every year, we get presents for all the kids. And the staff have to make them up. And there are quite a lot. That's just a small proportion of all the presents that they make, because every single child on the program, whether they're sponsored or whether they're not, gets a full bag of Christmas presents. Some of it is food for the family. It'll be treats. There'll be presents in there as well for the children. But every child gets a present. And if a family has got 6 kids, they get 6 presents. And they come to whichever location they belong to. That's San Miguel Dueñas, which is one of the urban, suburban areas. That's Pasir Hoch up in the mountains. Again, they're about 8,000 feet up. Pretty remote area. And as you can see, triplets, 1 each. That's down in the slums in Guatemala City. As is that one. But at all these places, whether it's in the mountains or in the city, we do a presentation of the gospel. They get the nativity story and the relevance to them, what Jesus means to them. We welcome them, we fellowship with them. They come in their hundreds, even their thousands. When I go in November, I'm going to have to ask, where did you get that jacket? Because it makes this look very, very dowdy. But it's all about celebrating and bringing the kids into the knowledge of who Jesus is. And then we have the baptisms, where they show their commitment to the Lord by being baptized. And again, all through the different churches that we have, That was out at Chichicastenango. These are various different places. This is Hokatenango, again, which is one of the villages around the city of Antigua. And we baptize no matter what age. So they can be older than me, or they can be just youngsters. Anyone who's committed their life to Jesus will come to be baptized. And it's a time of joy and celebration. I need to consult my paper here, because this is a story of two guys, Caleb and Robbie. And they came down to help with the work at Tunaha, stripping the building and then redoing the roof. And Caleb and Robbie weren't Christians. They come with their friends as builders. But when they saw Christ in action, when they heard the gospel, they responded. And they wanted to be baptized there and then. So Steve baptized them in that pool, which is actually inside our headquarters in Antigua. And it's only about that tall, so they'd be sitting in it and going backwards. But they made their commitment to Jesus and were baptized. In Albania, we have youth camps. Some of them are outside. Some are held inside. But it doesn't matter whether they're outside or inside. It's an opportunity to share Jesus with them, for them to have fun as well. And at the end of it, we have a conference, a youth conference. And the last conference, which was last July, there were 44 kids who accepted Jesus into their life. And for us, that's what makes it all worthwhile. Christmas in Albania, again, we gave out gifts to all the kids, but this time the family said, we want school items, because over there, as in Guatemala, schooling is free, but you have to buy everything that you need. So paper, pens, pencils, books, whatever it is, you've got to pay for it, which is what prevents some of the families from sending their kids to school. Because it might only be about £100 a year, but that's £100 more than they've got. So we do actually come alongside some of the schools. There's one school at Chulamal where we provide enough funding to them so that all the kids in that school can have all that they need for their schoolwork. Because education is important. I know for the soul it's not vital, but for life here, it is. They're not getting big boxes of bananas. That's just what we pack them in. But we also partner with Shoebox, so we give out those presents on top of the ones that we provide to the families. And our churches out there, they have their nativities. I can never understand how they get these most gorgeous costumes. You know, the king's there, gold lame. I mean, when I was a lad, mind that is going back a few years now, at primary school, if you were a shepherd, it was your dressing gown with a tea towel, and that was it, wasn't it? You know, you were a shepherd. No, they've got to have costumes, and they really dedicate what they do to God. And they worship just as we do at Christmas. And that particular church, that's at Pogadets. That church has been going about 4 or 5 years now. Started with 6 people. And that church now regularly has congregations of 150 plus. And of course we have baptisms out in Albania as well. This particular set of baptisms were in one of the rivers out there. And this one was in a church at Kotadesh. Now, there is no body of water or stream close enough to the church for them to use. So there they use one of these mobile baptistries. And these were the three ladies who were being baptized. All I can say is I hope the pastors had good backs, because by the time they'd done a few of those, I don't think they'd have a very good back. But in Albania, it's very much committing, because Albania is a Muslim country. The regions we work in are Muslim regions. The man on the right, Erion, he's our lead pastor in Albania. He comes from a strict Muslim background. But he found Jesus, and he turned his back on all that he'd been brought up in to follow Jesus. And now he's a man on fire for Jesus. We've got new solar panels in Albania. It's been paid for by a donor who wants to remain anonymous. But he paid out over £5,000 so that we could have solar panels in Albania. Because we think we've had problems with the price of energy over here. In Albania, it doubled in the space of 3 months. Put enormous strains on our costs. And those costs now have been reduced because of this gift of solar panels. We've got them on all our churches. We've even got them at our church in Pogradets as well, where we don't have a suitable roof, so they were just put out on an awning. Because in the end, what we do, or what we don't do, has got eternal significance. If we talk to people about Jesus and they respond, or if we don't talk to them about Jesus so they can't respond, that's got significance. Not just now, but into eternity. Because God transforms lives. I don't know about you, but he transformed my life. I can still remember what it was like not to know Jesus. And that's one of the things that drives me. Because I don't want anyone to be like I was before. He changes people. He changes them enormously. I love that picture that was painted for Revelation. Do you remember? Stands at the door and knocks. Have you ever seen that painting? On that door, there is no handle. He can't come in until you open the door. But watch out. If you open the door and let him in, he'll sweep through your life like nothing else. He will change you. And that's what we have, the message we have to share with people through Adopt a Child, through our churches, through our programs. Yeah, we help them with food, we help them with medical care, but it's about bringing them the gospel. You can inspire hope, you can become a sponsor. You can go out and you can see the programs in action. You can meet your God kids. That's one of the nurses who was, not this year, but last year, was down, and she met for the first time the child that she'd been sponsoring for quite a few years. We try to make sure that we use your money wisely, so a minimum, we guarantee a minimum of 90% of all money raised goes straight out to the programs. I think the last figure I had was 93%. We try to keep our costs as low as we possibly can, which is why you get me and not an advert on the TV, because I'm an awful lot cheaper. In fact, I think I've come free, but there you go. Because if you're giving money to the kids or to the elderly, that's where you want it to go. You don't want it to go into an organisation. You want it to go to meet the needs of the people that it's supposed to meet. We've been given freely. I know we very often complain about what we haven't got. All I can say is,
go out and see what it's like in the mountains in Guatemala, and then come back and complain. There are poor people in this country relative to our basic standard of living. But just a quick point. There are, the majority of people in this country are in the top 5% of income in the whole world. If you have an income of £25,000, you are in the top 1% of wealth in the world. You go to Guatemala or many other countries and you're in the bottom 5%. And in the mountains, the bottom 1%. There's just no comparison. We've been given freely. And the Lord says, be a cheerful giver. We've got about 3,000 kids, adults, who don't have sponsors. They're all on the programs. Make no mistake, if anyone comes to the program, they're welcome. And they will be on the program. They will get the food. They will get the medical and dental care. They will get to hear the gospel. What they won't have is a godparent or a godchild. And that makes all the difference. It's about relationship, coming alongside people. Costs £24 a month. That's about 80p a day. I'll not ask, but there are an awful lot of people who pay far more than that every month for the use of their phone. Is that phone going to work into the lives of people and salvation? What that £24 gives your child, doesn't matter whether they're 770, is food. Nutritious food that makes a difference between them growing strong and healthy and growing stunted. It's medical and dental care that they can't get anywhere else, which we provide free of charge. But most of all, it's about the spiritual and pastoral care that they won't receive and that they won't come to know Jesus. That's basically what your money's buying. If you feel you can't afford £24 a month, we'll take your money anyway. You can just give gifts, or if you can afford £2 or £3 or £4 a month, we can use that towards different programs. So it could go towards hearing aids, it could go towards glasses, it could go towards wheelchairs, whatever. You've never known a charity that won't take your money. Because in the end, it is about changing the world one child at a time. You know, they need you. They need you. And I've got children and I've got some adults up there who haven't got sponsors. And I would love to talk to anybody about them. So thank you for listening. Thank you for those who already support. And for the rest of you, why aren't you? But thank you.